Track 16. On the buses, Norfolk style. From getting us to school or to the shops or taking us on holiday, the bus has been a thread running through Norfolk's transport network for over 100 years, says Dean Bebbington.
Getting around in a rural county without a car is difficult, so bus services have been a lifeline for people now and in the past. We had the railways first, but buses can serve more towns and villages. The first buses in East Anglia were actually run by a railway when the Great Eastern Railway Company Limited began motor bus services in Suffolk in 1904, then expanded to Norfolk a few years later. They used Milne's Daimler omnibuses, which were double-decker with the stairs and a top deck open to the elements. Also, two passengers could sit next to the driver in the open-air cab. Less than a decade later, in 1913, Great Eastern pulled out of bus services in parts of Suffolk. These were then run by United Automobile Services Limited, which had been formed the year before and licensed by the council. Charabancs were their first passenger vehicles. Though the railway company continued to run buses on the Norwich to Loddon route during the First World War, United Automobile expanded into Norfolk. A trend that would continue to the present day saw mergers and takeovers of transport companies. In 1931, the Eastern Counties Omnibus Company Limited was created by the amalgamation of four operators, one of which was United Automobile. Eastern Counties had the resources to buy up more companies, and at the end of 1933, they took over the Norwich Electric Tramways Company. That spelt the end for trams in Norwich, which started to disappear in 1935. To avoid confusion from duplicated service numbers, they were changed in Cambridge, Peterborough and Suffolk, but mostly remained the same in Norfolk. Eastern Counties ran various types of omnibuses, both single and double-decker. Petrol engines were commonly used until the mid-1930s, when they were phased out in favour of more economical diesel engines. The days of open-topped omnibuses and trams had also passed as an enclosed top deck with windows and roof had become the norm. After the Second World War, many industries were nationalised by the Labour government. The 1947 Transport Act brought buses, railways and long-distance road haulage into public ownership to be run by the British Transport Commission. For decades after, the red and cream livery of Eastern Counties buses was still seen on the roads of Norfolk and Suffolk. An Eastern Counties Bristol LS5G coach was seen a long way from home in 1956 when it won the Brighton Coach Rally. This stylish 32-seater had a stylishly swept back front and a series of extra windows on each side where the body curved to the roof. The award was accepted by driver Cyril Harris. A bus driving around towns and villages has a wide audience. Ever since the omnibus days, the side of some buses displayed advertisements as well as the operator's name and logo. Occasionally a bus would be adorned with a one-off livery to mark a local or national event. For the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977, a Great Yarmouth Transport double-decker had a Jubilee design on the sides and a Union flag on the engine cover. The Conservative government deregulated buses in the 1985 Transport Act. This made it easier for new companies to enter the market, notably King's Lynn-based Norfolk Green in 1996, whose buses stood out with a two-tone green livery. Many Norfolk Greens had the name of a notable person below the windscreen. Commemorating the 60th anniversary of the 1953 Hunstanton North Sea floods, a Norfolk Green was painted with pictures from the crisis. It was named after Rice L. Leeming, an American serviceman then based at RAF Sculthorpe, who was awarded the George Medal for his part in rescuing people stranded by the floodwaters. Like Norfolk Green, most county bus operators had unremarkable names. One exception was Caroline Seagull Coaches, from the merger of Caroline Coaches and Seagull Coaches. The most unusual was surely the amusingly named Flying Banana. They initially launched with minibuses sporting a winged banana logo and a yellow and green livery. There have been rumours that passengers sometimes played bingo on these buses. Halesworth Transit launched Flying Banana in 1989 to run services in Great Yarmouth. They were another independent that eventually got bought up, in this case by the First Group in 1998. The group is one of the largest operators in the UK, with over 5,000 buses in their fleet. An annual event where you can see buses and coaches from bygone eras is the Mid-Norfolk Railway Vintage Bus and Coach Day. The last event in 2019 saw many vehicles, including an open topper with a striking purple, green and white livery. The next event is due on Sunday, August 1st, 2021, COVID permitting. A popular tourist activity at seaside towns is riding on an open-top bus. These services have long been available in Norfolk, not just in Great Yarmouth, but in smaller towns like Sheringham. Whether you just need to get somewhere or are an enthusiast, Norfolk has many bus routes and smaller operators to take you places. As COVID restrictions have gradually eased, services such as the Park and Ride Route 502 are now running again and will hopefully be a more frequent sight as life returns to normal. Open-top buses between Hemsby and Great Yarmouth should also return this year. Previously painted in blue and cream with the name Seasider, these are now blue and yellow and called Clipper Cabriolet. The front half of the top deck is covered while the rest is open. What better way to see the sea?